In November of 1943, while sitting in a Nazi prison, German pastor and member of the resistance to the Nazis, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, wrote in his journal, "A prison cell like this is a good analogy for Advent. One waits, hopes, does this or that, ultimately negligible things, but the door is locked and can only be opened from the outside." Comparing a Nazi prison to waiting for Christmas may seem a little odd, but Bonhoeffer was actually diagnosing the predicament of our hearts. Jesus, you see, he has this achingly beautiful way of opening the prison doors of our hearts that the light may come in. In fact, what I want to set before you from Matthew chapter 11 this evening is I want to urge you, I want to argue from this text, to find rest for your heart by resting in Jesus' heart. Let me say that again. Find rest for your heart by resting in Jesus' heart. I invite you to follow along as I read just three verses, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In the manger, you find something staggering about the heart of God. God, who in the earliest pages of Genesis said, "Let there be light," and hung the stars and the moon and the sun, hung them perfectly in the sky, was now crying the primal cries of a newborn baby. God, who holds all things together in his hands, from the smallest, tiniest molecules to the greatest galaxies, was now being held in the hands of his teenage mother. And he entered our stressful, exhausted world that he might become our rest. This is what makes this invitation of verse 28, these words of Jesus, so tender, so gripping. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, Jesus' audience in his day, they were crippled by a religious system that placed impossible burdens on those who would seek to know God, seek to follow God. Be like, do this, 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 and then tomorrow do this, 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 a list that you always had to satisfy but could never reach. And now you might think of this and you might say, well, that's not really how our world operates today. We practice, in many cases, a spirituality that is more up to the individual practitioner and not under the authority of those who will lay heavy legalistic burdens upon you. But I would disagree. I think that, though it's not exactly the same, we still carry great burdens. We still put them on ourselves or allow others to put them on us. We just package them differently. Just think of how we approach expectations and how we navigate pressures in life. We have expectations for how we find purpose in life. You give yourself to this cause. You give yourself to this work, this righteous, good thing, this cause that will make the world better, and that is where you will find ultimate purpose. Or you chase after that which your heart desires in love. You believe, if I find this love that my heart seeks, or I find this relationship that will unlock something in my heart that has never been unlocked before, then I will find a salvation that my heart has always sought. Or you think about it in how we approach image. Think about the pressures that we place upon ourselves or upon others with the expectation that our bodies must look a certain way, that our lives must follow a certain pattern, that we must project an image, whether in our social media life or whether before our neighbors or loved ones, of having it all together, all figured out. Are you starting to understand these pressures that we place upon ourselves? What about security? We tell ourselves, if I just get that promotion, if I just get my business off the ground, then I will have what my heart has dreamed of. I will have peace. If I just get to where these people outside of me, whose opinions I greatly value, if I can get to the point where they will think highly of me, I'll have it. Now, whether it's security or reputation or purpose or love, none of these things in of themselves are bad. They are admirable. They are good. But what Jesus is getting at is the danger of trying to use things like this to find salvation for our hearts. In September, my 2-year-old daughter got a sunburn. She has pretty fair skin. We weren't outside but for about an hour, and she got a sunburn on both of her arms that led actually to sun rash. So parent of the year right here, dad, didn't put her in sleeves or didn't put sunscreen on. But it wasn't, so if you're familiar with sun rash, it's actually like a poisoning of the skin that just takes a few weeks to come out. And it wasn't hurting her or irritating her, but she was very confused. She had these red spots up and down her arms, and anytime she was in the bathtub, she would grab her little soap thing and try to scrub it off of her arms, but to no avail. No matter how hard she scrubbed, she could not remove these spots, this rash. Each of our hearts has this kind of rash. This desire for rest, and where we might place that desire, where we might think it is found, image, security, love, reputation, how others perceive of us. So we try to scrub it with these things, our relationships, our achievements. If only I get into this school, if only I make this grade, I will have reached the mountaintop. Comforts, the pleasures of life, whatever it may be. And yet for as hard as we scrub, we find that anything apart from Christ is unable to scrub these marks off of our heart, unable to remove the rash. But Jesus, he looks at you with your greatest burdens. He looks at us with a lifetime of weariness, and he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." You could say, "Come to me, all of you who are tired of trying to scrub it yourself and find rest." But if this invitation is going to be of any great value to us, we must dig further. We not only hear the invitation, but now we look at his heart. Look at verse 29. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Now pause right here. This invitation to take his yoke upon you, this is language from back in Jesus' day that we might not be real familiar with. You say, what does it mean to take a yoke upon you? Think of like two large animals, two horses, two cows, two oxen, and the wooden yoke or beams that would connect them, and you'd get like a team of them, and they'd pull these heavy burdens, these heavy sleds, and they would be used to carry these immense weights. And Jesus is saying, if you're tired of carrying those around your life, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And look at what he says. He says in verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, why is this easy? Why is this burden light? Because of his heart at the end of verse 29, where he says, or in the middle of there, "For I am gentle and lowly in heart." Did you know that in all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, this is the only place where Jesus tells us of the inner disposition of his heart. The heart of Jesus is so gentle towards you. Sit on this for a minute. The heart of Jesus is so gentle towards you that the only prerequisite that he establishes is that you must labor and be heavy laden. He'll give you rest. The only prerequisite is that you be tired and say, "I need this rest." I imagine a few of us here are tired. You must be weary. For all of his glory that we behold when we get lost staring at the night sky or watching a magnificent sunrise out over the ocean, for all of that glory, it is in Jesus' gentleness and lowliness that we see that he is the most approachable person the world has ever known. Jesus does not have a short fuse. You don't have to try to figure out exactly how you're going to word your request to him or your explanation for what is happening, worrying that in going before him and being honest, you might set him off. No, Jesus is the most understanding person the world has ever known. His heart is gentle and lowly. So how do you enter? How do you receive this heart of Jesus? You come to him and you willingly let go of everything that your heart would seek to find rest in, and you receive the yoke that he gives you. And that is the wonder of Christmas. Listen to this quote from R.G. Lee, who was a pastor about 75 years ago. In describing Jesus' birth, he said, "In Bethlehem, humility and glory in their extremes were joined. Born in a stable, cradled in a cattle trough, wrapped in swaddling clothes of poverty, no room for him who made all rooms, no place for him who made known or who knows all places. Oh, the deep humiliation of the Creator, born of the creature, born of woman. But in his descent was the dawn of mercy. Because we cannot ascend to him, he descends to us." But you want to know something wild? This descent of Jesus to that cattle trough was not the lowest that he would go in his gentleness and his lowliness. He would go all the way to his death on a cross, crucified on a Roman cross, bearing the penalty that we deserve for our sin, our rebellion against God. And he bore our sins that we may be both captivated by and clothed in his mercy. So this Christmas, I urge you to reflect upon the hope that you can know the heart of Jesus Christ. Reflect upon this passage. Meditate on it in the days ahead. Just these three verses. Take the bulletin with you and think about them. Take steps to begin to explore what it means to know and to rest in Jesus. Do this through his word. Perhaps a fitting New Year's resolution for you as you enter 2025 would be to say, I'm going to read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I'm going to see what this says about Jesus for myself. In fact, if you are interested in doing that, we have Bibles downstairs on the table that I would love to give you one for free before you leave tonight as our gift to you. Wouldn't that be a great resolution? And also, seek to explore what it means to know Christ, what it means to be transformed by Christ, what it means to have this heavy burden of yours lifted by coming to him in faith and worshiping with his church. In your stress and exhaustion, come rest in Jesus. In your sadness and weariness, come rest in Jesus. In your discontentment and your despair, come rest in Jesus. In your loneliness, in your anxiousness, come rest in Jesus. In your unmet expectations, in your fleeting dreams, come rest in Jesus. In his coming, that first Christmas night, Jesus threw open the prison door and the light of the world came. Find rest for your heart by resting in his heart. Would you pray with me? Precious Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have come. And that you gladly receive our heavy burdens, that we may receive your yoke, which is easy. That we may find that your burden is light. and we may take refuge in your heart that is gentle and lowly. We pray that you would help us to do this Christmas season and in the days and weeks and years to come. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' good and faithful name. Amen.